This is your tech news briefing for Monday, December 19th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Investment firms have always been interested in finding sources of regular income. Things like mineral rights from mines or royalty payments from songwriters' catalogs. But now investors are reaching out to another group, online content creators, specifically ones that are big on YouTube, people whose old videos are still generating ad revenue. And while some YouTubers may see the chance to sell those video rights as a boon, others are wary of the strings that might be attached. And as the digital ad market changes, what is the future of these deals anyway? On today's show, our tech reporter Miles Krupa joins us to discuss it all. That's after these headlines. We report exclusively that TikTok is taking steps to distance itself from its Chinese parent. But sources say some engineers working on TikTok's algorithms are still based in China, and parent company ByteDance continues to hire for TikTok there. TikTok's Chinese connections have raised concerns in Washington and state houses around the U.S. Lately, the company's moved key executives to Singapore and the U.S., and it's ramping up the hiring of engineers and other staff outside of China. It's also reorganizing teams internally from the rest of ByteDance's apps. A TikTok spokesperson said most of its hiring is outside of China. Several developments at Twitter. On Sunday, new owner Elon Musk tweeted out a poll asking users if he should step down as head of the company and saying he would abide by the results. The poll closes Monday morning. Also over the weekend, Musk accepted the results of another Twitter poll he posted and reinstated the accounts of several journalists who were suspended last week. 58% of Twitter users voted in favor of lifting the ban right away, rather than after a week. Last Thursday, Musk suspended accounts belonging to journalists from outlets including CNN, The Washington Post, The New York Times, and Mashable. He indicated the suspensions were linked to sharing the location of his private jet. The @ElonJet account, which tracked Musk's private jet using public data, was also suspended. The move drew criticism from some officials for what they said was an infringement on press freedom. Meanwhile, on Friday, the company also conducted another round of layoffs, according to an email viewed by the Journal. The full scope of the cuts couldn't immediately be determined. Twitter didn't respond to requests for comment on the account reinstatements or the layoffs. In more layoff news, we report exclusively that self-driving truck company TuSimple plans to cut at least half of its workforce this week, or more than 700 employees. The cuts come as TuSimple scales back efforts to build and test autonomous truck driving systems. Sources say much of the company's operation in Tucson, Arizona, where it does a lot of its test driving, will be eliminated, and the team that works on the algorithm for the self-driving software will be significantly pared back. TuSimple has struggled to generate significant revenue with its self-driving technology still in testing, and its CEO said Friday he wants the company to be more capital efficient. FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried is planning to consent to extradition to the U.S., where he'll face charges related to the crypto exchange's collapse. That's according to people familiar with the matter, though one person said his legal plans are still in flux. Bankman-Fried has been in custody in the Bahamas, where he lives and where FTX is based. U.S. federal prosecutors in Manhattan have charged him with fraud and money laundering. They also allege he violated campaign finance rules by making illegal political contributions using FTX customer money. Lawyers for Bankman-Fried didn't respond to requests for comment. The developments in Bankman-Fried's case come as the wider crypto sector continues to struggle. Crypto trading giant Binance says the accounting firm Mazars, which it used to verify its reserves, has paused all work for crypto clients. That's hampering efforts to reassure customers that their money is safe. Last week, Mazars withdrew a report from its website about reserves at Binance and other crypto trading firms. A spokesperson said it took the step because the reports could be misunderstood by the public. A Binance spokesman said Mazars' decision doesn't mean customers' funds are at risk. And Apple is preparing to let iPhone and iPad users download apps outside its App Store, according to people familiar with the matter. The company is also looking at how to limit the impact that would have on the device's security and its own business. Sources say the move comes in response to a new European Union law aimed at creating more competition for the most powerful tech companies. Apple requires app developers to use its store and payment systems, and takes commissions of up to 30% for certain transactions. The change would give companies the ability to bypass that. An Apple spokeswoman declined to comment. All right, coming up, musicians aren't the only creators getting million-dollar offers for their back catalogs. YouTubers are getting in on the action, too. But is it worth it? We'll discuss. That's after the break.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Imagine you're a YouTube star. You've got a large following, and you've been posting videos for years. And then, out of the blue, you get a call asking if you want to sell the rights to your back catalog. Well, a growing number of people are finding themselves in this position as investment firms look to lock up income streams from an increasingly wide range of places. Here with me to talk about this trend and what it means for YouTubers is our reporter Miles Krupa, who covers Google. Hi, Miles. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Zoe.
So the first thing that I want to know is, you know, who and why? Who are the investors buying these back catalog rights to YouTube channels? And why are these old videos seen as so valuable?
Yeah, so there are two main startups doing this. One is called Spotter. The other is called Jellysmack. And a smattering of smaller ones. But those two are the ones that are reaching out in the largest volume to these creators. They've raised hundreds of millions of dollars and earmarked a bunch of money to go do these deals. The idea really is that sometimes you get spikes in viewership in old YouTube videos as creators post new things that can sort of relate to their old content, right? So you'll hear these stories about creators all of a sudden getting hundreds of thousands of new views on an old video, and that brings in a lot of advertising revenue. So what these companies are doing is basically buying the rights to earn that ad revenue over a period of about 5 years. And basically they're betting on the sustained growth of these YouTube creators and the advertising economy that's built up around them.
How valuable do they think these old videos will be?
I mean, it's not uncommon to hear of deals that stretch into the millions. There's a bit of an art and a science to this. The companies say they have machine learning algorithms with thousands or even millions of data points they've collected across a bunch of different YouTube channels that can help them predict just how valuable these will be. And then typically what they'll do is offer cash up front to that creator equal to about 80% of what they expect the value of those videos to be over the next 5 years.
I mean, this sounds like a pretty sweet offer, but I bet for YouTubers who are approached, there is bigger calculation here. So what are some of the possible drawbacks that they might have to think about?
You know, it's very difficult to guess how valuable these videos could be in 5 years. All sorts of things could happen in the middle. You could start posting more, start posting less. Your type of video could go out of favor. So in some ways, the companies are capitalizing on that uncertainty and saying, we're giving you a bunch of cash right now, and this lowers your risk in terms of building a business as a creator. And so if a creator has, you know, ideas for what they could do with a few million dollars, you know, start doing merchandise, start upgrading their production quality, hire more people. The creators I've talked to said often it makes sense if you have an idea for what you want to do with the capital. If you don't, and this money might just be sitting in the bank, it's easy to see how in 5 years one could end up regretting this if it turns out the actual value of those videos is double or even triple what you might have thought they were worth at the time.
Let's talk a bit about the bigger picture here for YouTube advertising, because, you know, the ad revenue sharing structure from YouTube really helped kick off this creator economy that we have today. But what's the situation like now?
Yeah, that's right. So YouTube gives 55% of the advertising revenues on long form videos to basically most creators who are trying to reach a large audience on YouTube, people with more than thousands of views on their videos. So that's been a really good thing for a lot of online creators. It's certainly better than most other video platforms in terms of the business opportunity for actual content creators. What's happening right now, though, is that YouTube's ad revenue had its first year-over-year decline in the third quarter this year. And there's just been a sort of cooling off in the advertising world more broadly. So the trend line is not looking great.
Can you tell me what this trend then means for these kinds of deals going forward?
It makes it actually more attractive for creators because we're actually seeing a scenario play out, you know, stagnating ad revenues overall for YouTube that potentially threatens their growth into the future. So if you can take more money now and use it to go into new things or upgrade your production, that could be an attractive thing. I think for the companies, one of the big questions will be, how can they also figure out a way to make money from the rise of short-form video? So we're going to see YouTube roll out ad sharing from short-form content like TikToks starting next year. And a lot of people in the creator economy predict that will take some share of view time and advertising revenues from the long-form content. So it'll be really critical for these companies to capture some of that if they want these bets to pay off in the end.
I mean, that's interesting. Does it suggest that we might see these kinds of deals in other parts of the creator economy, you know, beyond YouTube?
It's difficult to say just because other platforms don't quite have the same advertising sharing structure that YouTube does. So it does seem like a very specific to YouTube phenomenon right now. But I think you're certainly seeing other tech companies trying to figure out a way to reward creators in the same way that YouTube has. Even Elon Musk, since taking over Twitter, has sort of mused, how do we start our own video platform and reward creators in the same way that YouTube does?
All right, that's our reporter, Miles Krupa. Thanks for joining us, Miles.
Thanks, Zoe.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Discover the extraordinary ideas shaping our future at the Future of Everything Festival when The Wall Street Journal brings together leaders from business, science, sports, and culture, May 2nd through 4th at Spring Studios in New York City. Register today using code PODCAST to receive 20% off your ticket. Visit wsj.com/FOEF podcast to secure your spot.